Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Before their judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Yeah, change it. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, y'all. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Yeah, yeah. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, we do. Need a little help.
Right, you're listening to Mother's Milk, and that's one of the most wonderful songs that was ever made. And guess what? It's more apropos today than it was when it was put out in the 70s. Wake up, everybody. We can't do it alone. We got to get together. We got to make it happen. My name is Samia Safir Muhammad, and I am your host. And the name of this show is Mother's Milk. When the brother first suggested that title, I'm like, Mother's Milk, okay. And I had to think about it, and I realized Mother's Milk on the physical level, how important it was to a baby. But Mother's Milk, I was looking at this show recently, and there are two things that was said. One of them was talking about Mother's Milk, and young person had done something, and it was older person actually, and the phrase was said to them, "You have disgraced your mother's milk." And I said, "Oh my God, that's profound to say that to somebody." that you have disgraced your mother's milk. So what did that mean? That meant that the sacrifice, the very life substance that brought this person in and allowed it to grow and to get strong, they had disgraced that by their behavior. And I said, wow. You know, but these are some of the things that are happening among us. So we're going to talk about a few things today. That's one. Another thing that I got from this particular show, I'll tell you more about it later on in terms of the show itself. But the women would speak to their children, and as they were giving them encouragement or just helping them, nourishing their minds and their body, they would say to them, I carried you under my heart. And I thought that was so beautiful and so profound, because we speak, when we talk of carrying children, we think of carrying them in the womb. But in fact, as they grow, they are sitting right up under your heart. And that's what they miss when they first come out, is that constant boom, 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 boom of your heart. And I thought that was so beautiful, such a beautiful way to express the connection between mother and child that goes on for 9 months. So I just wanted to share that in the beginning. So let me say to you all, as our brother, beloved Minister Farrakhan has instructed us to say, may you experience God's blessing and God's peace in the new year, not happy new year, because it may not be happy. Okay, so I wish you all that have been blessed to see 2019, to be thankful, and for anyone you may have lost or who's been ill and has still made it through, don't ever forget to thank God that you're here another year. And as time is moving so swiftly and events are so crazy, thank the moment you open your eyes, be thankful to Allah, God, whatever you call him. First thing you say is, thank you, I see another day, you know, and then make up your mind that you're going to make that day better than the day before, and whatever mistakes you made yesterday, to try and be, ask forgiveness, seek forgiveness for those, and those mistakes, and make up your mind to do whatever you can not to repeat them. And anyone that you've hurt, anyone you've done wrong, don't be too big to go and say, hey, you know what, what I said to you yesterday, I thought about it, and it wasn't quite the way I wanted it to come out, and maybe it was a little bit harsh. Please forgive me. See, because we don't have time to be bickering and fighting with one another, because there's too many enemies that are coming at us from every direction. And when I say we, I mean all of us in the black community. I don't care whether you came from the Caribbean, from Africa, from Puerto Rico. If you're a person of color, you are the target right now. So we need to be very careful, all of us. And speaking of that, I'm seeing on Facebook that far too many babies, young adults, are coming up missing. Parents, you got to be more vigilant. When my children were growing up, I never let them go, if I could help it, anywhere by themselves. Take somebody with you. You need to be with somebody, because hopefully one of y'all can get away and tell what happened. We need to be very vigilant. Organ harvesting is real. They keep finding our children missing, and then when they find them, their organs are missing. This is big business, and we've got wicked, demonic people who don't mind snatching up your child, your young adult, and taking their organs and selling them and transplanting them into other people's bodies. These people have gone mad. Now they're taking uteruses out of living people and transplanting them into other. Look, we cannot fathom the depths of Satan, and we need to not only be prayerful, we need to be watchful, and we need to know some self-defense. Don't sleep that. Know how to protect yourself. If somebody, we are never the aggressor, but we do fight with those who fight with us. Do not sit around and expect somebody to come to your rescue. That life you got is only coming one time, and you better be ready to back up your and protect yourself. get, don't sit around where you can't move, where you can't run, where you can't kick, where you can't punch. And you better call on the God and fight like hell with those who fight with you. Do not be cowardly. Brothers, don't stand around and watch our women get assaulted and you don't do nothing. You don't do a thing. No, you better jump in there. Everybody better get some licks in because this makes no sense. Okay, we got to stop letting people just attack us. And we, oh, my God, they attack. No, if they're attacking, they better be ready to get punched back. Okay, and we need to stand up and say to these crazy white people who every time we turn around, they're up in our face talking about, do we belong here? You tell them, excuse me, you don't own us anymore. We are not your slaves. Back up. Get out my face. And you have to say it just like you talk to the little children that you are reprimanding. They know who's serious with them, and they know who's playing with them. You need to be able to, your whole energy needs to be able to repel them, just like the negative force that they are. Just get back. Just step back and get away from me. Don't be afraid to defend what God gave you, which is your one and only life. Okay? Stand up for yourself and let people know, no. I don't have to answer your questions about whether I live here or not or why I'm standing here. Who are you? Okay? You have no right to be in my face. Please back up. Okay? So I'm saying these things because I'm tired of seeing us begging and pleading with people as though they own us. They don't own us anymore. We are not their slaves. Slavery is over, and by Allah's grace, it will not come again. Okay, we're not gonna get gold for the okie doke and be fooled into thinking we're gonna get gold more than we were earning in our own country. We're not doing that again. Okay, so stay awake, people. Wake up. Everybody needs to wake up and stay awake. Listen carefully to what's being said around you. Don't go for, oh, well, we could make, you know, we've got this and we, and if you just come, no. Keep your children safe. Limit who they speak to on social media. Our young girls are getting, and boys are getting lured into going to see people who they think are their age, and they're not. They're not. You got adults pretending to be children. You got men pretending to be women. I mean, it's just crazy. Protect your children. You are their guardian. They need you. They need you. I have been observing lately, we don't want to parent. We want to be our children's friends. You cannot be their friend and raise them. Whatever Dr. Spock and all these other crazy people who never had children and never raised children are telling you is correct is not. It's not. Because look at what they've produced, a bunch of crazy people. That's what they've produced. Grandma and great-grandma produced human beings. I don't know what's going on here now. We need to stop and take hold of our thinking and take hold of our children and understand that when you bring a child into this world, they, number one, they are always yours. They never grow too old to be your child, okay? This whole idea, well, he's 18, he got to go. No. Did you prepare him properly to go out on his own? Then why are you kicking him out there? And even if you prepared them, the circumstances of life may cause them to have to come back to you. Your door should always be open to welcome your children and help them get on their feet, help them do the things that they need, because we're living in a different world. I was just looking at a rent receipt that my aunt had when she was living at 48 St. Nicholas Place. That was Sugar Hill back then. That was the cream of the crop of where black people lived in Harlem. In 1978, this woman was paying $135 a month rent for a two-bedroom apartment. That same apartment, now I'm so sure it's going for at least $2,000. So a young couple could get married back then and make a rent of $135. Nowadays, it's so hard for our young people to get out on their own because everything is so, so expensive. And the minimum wage is not going up. So they're struggling. So we're going to sit and watch them flounder and act like we don't see them. And then when something happens to them, then we're ready to boo-hoo and cry. No, we need to keep the lines of communications between ourselves and our children open. We need to talk. We need to listen. We need to listen. We need to take these damn cell phones out of our hands, put them down, put them away when we get in the house. Unless it is an emergency, everybody should not be on their cell phone when they walk in the house. You know, especially your young children who you say, well, I gave my child a cell phone because they need to contact me. Okay, well, then why you got them walking around the house with it? You in the next room, and they're texting you from one room to the other. So it is a cell phone. It has us all in its jail. Okay, look at it that way. It is a jail. And that's the first thing we reach for in the morning. It's the last thing we put down at night. Somebody's talking to us, and we're so busy on that phone, we don't even hear them. Our children are pulling on our coattails. We don't even feel it. Your little baby is in a shopping cart, and it's crying. The first thing you do is hand over your cell phone. You take the phone from the child has a tantrum, and you get the phone back to them. What is going on with us? We need to stop. We need to become parents again. So we need, in this new year that has come in, 2019, we need to think, look at all of the things that you did and did not do from last year and make a list and say, okay, I'm going to change this. I intend to do this. I intend to do this. I intend to do this. Make it realistic. Break it down into little steps if you have to. You all want to lose 20 pounds. Well, you're not going to lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks. But you can lose 2. You can lose 5. You lose 10. You got to do it gradually, but do it. What I used to do, I've come across some lists that I wrote years ago. And one list, it took me 5 years to accomplish this one thing that I just kept putting back on this list, which was to get my driver's license. It took 5 years, but guess what? I finally accomplished it. So if you put something on your list and you don't get it done today, put it back on the top of the list the next day and the next day and the next day and until you accomplish it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Know that God did not bring us this far to leave us now. And I say that because we have withstood the worst treatment of any people on the planet. And we're still here. We're still sane. We're still civilized. We're still God-fearing people. We're not crazy. We're not psychotic, even though they're trying their best to make us that. That's not us. So let's not give up on ourselves, and let's not give up on our families, and let's not give up on our neighbors. Donna Melissa's little Farrakhan said, we need to be doing acts of kindness. We got to tone this bitterness and this hatred and this envy and this jealousy. We got to scale that back. You got to scale it back, and it's got to be a deliberate thing. You have to walk out your house and say, good morning, how are you? Or, yo, what's up? Salam alaikum. Whatever you say, say something when you walk by another person in the street. And at first, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. They are, but then you keep doing it. After a while, like, here come that lady. Let me just say hello to her. And you'll never know how you make somebody's day. I was coming down the street one day when I was living in New York, and this older woman was coming by me. And I just said, good morning. How are you? And this woman talked to me for the next block. And I said, wow, she was probably very lonely and had nobody to talk to. And she was so happy that somebody said something to her. Then another time I saw a young man coming down the block, teenager, maybe early 20s. And he's coming in. My first thought, because it was like 10 o'clock in the morning and I was coming back from the school where I was working at the time, and I saw him. And my first thought was, what's he doing out here? And I said, damn, that's not fair. Why would I think that of this young man? And I said, good morning. How are you? And he said, oh, I'm fine. And he just lit up because somebody didn't see him as a predator, as the enemy, as public enemy number one. We don't know what just speaking to each other will do, because we used to talk to each other all the time. Now we act like we're afraid to say anything to anybody. And we go about our business and we don't pay attention. Walk on with a purpose. My husband always told my children, walk with a purpose when you walk out the house. Don't stroll around like you don't know where you're going, because then you become a victim of somebody. Walk with a purpose and stay on the alert. Watch what's going on around you. Look who's coming at you. Look who's behind you. And walk like you know where you go. Walk like you belong wherever you're walking. There was a brother in the mosque. I love him. He could go anywhere. Why? Because he always walked like he belonged there. Nobody was going to question him because he walked like, hey, I own this. So they weren't going to ask him, what are you doing here? Because he didn't walk around timid. He walked wherever he was. That was the place where he owned, and he walked. So we have to, these are some of the things we need to tell our children. And it's not an arrogance. It's a sureness. It's a faith in the God that you know you're not walking by yourself, that the God is with you. So you walk like that. Teach your children that. Teach your children not to be just out in the street, to be in the street. Where are you going? Always be going somewhere. Always have a destination. Don't just walk out the house to walk out the house. Unless you got a house that has a backyard and you feel like just walking among the trees, that's different. But if you're on these city streets, walk with a purpose. Walk with them. Know where you're going. Know why you're going. Have a destination in mind. Have some goal to accomplish whenever you leave your house. Have a goal when you get up in the morning. Even if your goal is, I'm going to relax today. So therefore, I'm going to take a soak in the tub. I'm going to do my hair. I'm going to read this book. But have something in your mind always, what you're going to do. What you're going to do, because guess what? You ain't going to get to do it forever. You're not going to get to do it forever. Okay? So I wanted to say this. Never, ever think that what you have done does not matter. Because sometimes we work and we work and we work and we're like, dang, you know, what am I doing? Is it paying off? Is it making a difference? You will be surprised the amount of people whose lives you touch just by talking to them or just doing whatever your particular job is and doing it well. See, people don't do jobs anymore. We don't go to work to do a good job. We go to work to get paid. I'm going to get paid. But what are you doing to earn that money that you're getting paid? What are you doing? Are you doing a good job? Are you making sure that whatever product you create, whatever task you do, somebody can look at it like, man, this really person really cared about how they handled this situation. Never think that what you have done does not matter. My grandson graduated from high school a couple of years ago. And at the graduation, it was a Cyber Academy graduation, and a whole bunch of people were there, and he was the valedictorian for the whole state of Georgia. So, you know, we're outside afterward, the family's all there, and we're talking, you know, everybody's talking to everybody. And I was tired. I went and sat down on a stone wall or something. I don't know, for some reason that day I was very tired. So I sat down, and my oldest son came to get me, who was the father of the child. He said, Mommy, there's a young man over here who says, I think he knows you. And so I follow my son over to the person. As I'm walking up, the person says, oh, my God, you look exactly the same. And I'm like, who is this? So he began to explain that he had been a student at Woody Crest Daycare, which was the mosque preschool at the time back in 1978, and he was now in his 40s, and he had been in my class as a four-year-old. He remembered me, and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, so I'm taken aback by that. But then he said, I want to thank you for what you taught me, because what you taught me helped me be the man that I am today. Now, this is 40 years later, And I'm like, I was just taken aback. I'm like, wow. So just do a good job at whatever you do, because the reward may not come today. It may not come 10 years from now. But if you touch a soul, if you touch a heart, if you elevate a mind, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. So do whatever you do to the best of your ability, especially parenting. Parents, your children are going to get on your nerves. You're going to get on their nerves. And they're going to, at some point in time, you know, some of them will go so far as to tell you to go to hell. But guess what? They will turn around at some point in their journey on this planet and go, you know what, Mommy? You were right. I apologize. I'm so sorry I gave you such a hard time, because guess what? You were right, and I thank you for the way you raised me. So make that sacrifice. Do without some of this material stuff. Trust me, your children don't want all that stuff they ask you for, because what they really want is your attention. They want your love. They want you to listen to them. They want to be able to be near you, to being on your phone and talking to whoever. They want you to pay attention to them and show them that they are important in your life. Do that for your children. It will pay off. It will pay off. Do that for your babies. Because guess what? They're not going to be babies for long. You know, they're not going to be babies for long. Mothers who have daughters, insist that your daughters be girls longer. I've got young girls in my class who are now 9 and 10, and they've already started their menses, and they're shocked. And I've been telling them, since I've had them for a couple of years, and I kept telling them, look, I need y'all to, you know, y'all need to be little girls. Stop trying to grow up. Stop trying to be so grown. And now they are. They're grown women in the biological sense. So help your girls be little girls. Help them do little girly things. You know, we don't see that much anymore because everybody want to be grown. But guess what? You're going to be grown a long time. All right? You're going to be grown 40 years, most of us. Okay? So try and help your girls to be little girls. Let's help them do the girly things. Teach them how to cook. Teach them how to do the things that will help them become better mothers. And don't, mothers, please don't drop the burden of raising your children on your little girls. That's not fair. That's not fair. Don't make your 10-year-old, your 9-year-old have to take care of all of their brothers and sisters while you're out doing things that are not necessarily making a living. Okay? You out doing stuff and got your daughter stuck home trying to be the mother. If you have to work, that's a different story. But if you're just out here gallivanting, which some of you do, you just out here, just being out here, hanging out, and your daughter is home trying to watch your children. That's not fair, because what you rear up in that child, what you cause in that child is a resentment to being what God wanted her to be, which is his second self, his co-creator, to be a mother. So don't kill that in your daughter because you make her mother before she is one by making her take care of yours. Okay? If you're not ready, then don't have him. Don't. And you know what to do, and I don't mean abortion either. That having, making the mind up whether you're going to have a child or not should be before you get in that bed with whomever you get in the bed with. Okay? That's the choice. That's the choice you're making. All right? And be careful, people. HIV, AIDS, all these things are running rampant in our community because we're not honest with each other. We're doing all kind of stuff. Stop it. Come back to godly behavior, because it'll help stop a lot of this madness that we're causing to be in our own communities. We're destroying ourselves. We need to stop doing it. We have the power. Don't, you know, and if ever you think, oh, this is my life, is it? Is this just your life? Or is this the life of one who survived, of one of the ancestors who made it, who came, think about it. Whenever you start getting haughty about what this is about, this is all about me. It's like, no. If you're here in America today, somebody, somebody in your family tree made it across Africa, made it out of the Cape Coast castles, made it out of the hull of a ship, made it through 400 years of slavery, 100 years of Jim Crow, to this day and time, you owe those people. You owe all of them. You owe every one of them to cherish this life that you have because they survived. Do you understand? So this ain't about us. It's not about me, all about me. No, you got a line of people you need to be thanking every day because they had the fortitude to survive. And we owe them a debt of gratitude, and we need to do better. Okay? So whenever we start thinking crazy stuff, hey, who made it possible for you to be standing here today? In your family, in your bloodline, whose DNA you're carrying. All right? Think about that. Because some of us, we losing it. We thinking, it's all about me, and I can make my choices. Excuse me? No, think about what you're doing. Think about great-great-great-grandma. And you know what I found out just this year? I happened to find my father's death certificate. I didn't know my father had been born in 1910, which meant that he had owned, that was only 45 years out of slavery, 60 years out of slavery. That means my great-grandmother was more than likely a slave on a plantation, and the next one down was definitely either sharecropping or just got out of slavery. So when people start talking about, oh, that was long ago, no, it wasn't long ago. No, it wasn't that long. And we need to be mindful of that. We've made strides. Great strides, but what are we doing with what they paid for? Are we throwing it away because we want cars and shoes and all of that? That stuff, let me tell you something. When you die, all that stuff going to stay here. You ain't taking none of it with you. So is it more important to have that extra car, that extra shoe, that extra whatever, or is it more important to cultivate the mind of a child? The companionship of your siblings and your parents is more important because they're not going to be here forever. They're not going to be here forever. I wanted to read something that somebody had posted on Facebook. There's two things. One of them, and it went like this. It said, back in the old days, we came home from school and did our homework. No game plan. We took our school clothes off when we got home and did not go outside and play in them. We didn't sit and listen to grown-ups talk. We left the room until company left. We ate what was cooked or nothing at all. We didn't say I will do it later. I'm thankful for the old days because it made me the person I am today. Repost if you agree. Back in the old days was something America should have stuck to for raising children. Okay? We parents, first of all, you talk too daggone much around your children. Your children got know whose baby daddy is whose and all this craziness that's going on. And they talk it. They talk all your business to everybody, and it 9 times out of 10 is wrong. Yeah, well, my mama said, so why do you allow them to be in your conversation? And they feel they have the right to butt in. Excuse me, nobody was talking to you. When we were smaller, they would tell us, why are you standing here trying to smell my breath? Okay? And if you didn't move fast enough, you wouldn't get a backhand lick in your mouth. Okay? You're like, oh, that's cruel. Excuse me. We came up with some respect, all right? Too many of our children are running their mouth. They're talking back to you, and you're not saying a word. You act like they're the parent and you're a child. No, you need to teach. We all need to teach our children to respect you, first of all, and then other adults. Children should not be in adult conversation. They should not be involved in what's going on in everybody else's house. So if that means you got to stop gossiping, then do that. Stop talking around your children so they know everything that everybody did, okay? Because it's ruining them because now they're worried about it. They come to school worried about something that they heard you say. Okay, because you weren't careful not to tell them all everybody's business. Okay, another thing I wanted to share with you is a poem. It was by Okay, it's called Success, and it was by Ralph Waldo Emerson, because we've got made the mistake of thinking that success means the many cars we have and how much jewelry we have and how many how big our house is, and you know. So this is what it says, and I was blessed to share this with a sister who was a captain, a former captain in the Nation of Islam, and she just passed recently. And we were sending cards to her, and I couldn't, you know, I didn't know what card to pick, but I walked in my office, and this was on the wall. So I want to share this with you, and please take it to heart. It says, success, to laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics, to endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have existed. This is to have succeeded. Okay? Think about that. It's the epitome of what a servant gives to people. And when we are teachers, when we are doctors, when we are lawyers, when we are ministers, when we are nurses, when we are just parents, we are servants to others. And we have to get this haughtiness and this arrogance out of us that makes us think that when we're in some position, that makes us better than the people who are around us. No, you become their humble servant, and when you do a good job, then you've succeeded. And I want to read this that came from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan a couple of days ago. He posted this on his website, and it was from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him this. He said, God is saying to you today, quote, everything will work out. I'm in complete control. I know what the medical report says. I know what the financial situation looks like. I see the people coming against you. I know how big your dreams are. And hear me clearly. I will not fail you. Okay? He's not going to fail you. So don't get in despair to the point where you like, I got to give up. No, because you made it here. You know, you made it here. I was blessed to be with my daughter who just gave birth to a little girl a month ago. And to watch someone go through the pain and the agony of giving birth and watch this person, you know, and help them along with their husband and the other family members that were with her. This is a most wondrous struggle that each of us had someone go through to bring us here. So it says, reverence the womb that bore you. Reverence the womb that bore you. So we got to start thanking our mothers, children. Mothers, you got to remember what you went through to bring this child here and that you succeeded in that struggle. So most of these other struggles are really lightweight compared to that one. All right? So let us, as we come into this new year, give birth to this new mindset that says, I will not fail because Allah, God, Jesus, whatever you're calling him, will not fail me. And no matter what happens in your life this year, know that it is a trial. And in any trial, you have to find out what's the clear evidence. You have to find out, okay, I'm being tried. What am I supposed to learn from this that I'm going through? And once you see every disaster, so-called disaster in your life in that way, then you can better manage it. You say, okay, this is a trial. All right, let me see. What am I supposed to learn from this one? Okay, Allah, you and I, we're going to make it through this. You know, it may be painful, but we're going to make it through. What am I supposed to learn? This is a lesson. This is to move me from this level to another level, up until we reach perfection, a level of perfection, and then we're going to move to another one. So that takes away all the despair and the worrying and all of the, oh, my God. No. And on that note, call on God before you get in trouble, before it gets to the point, oh, my God. No. Okay, thank you. I woke up. Thank you, God. Oh, I can walk this morning. Thank you, God. Oh, there's food in my refrigerator. Thank you, God. Oh, there's water that I can drink outside. I'm not under a bridge in the cold. And when you see our people who are suffering, share some of what you have. Not necessarily money. Sometimes just a good word says you can make it. It's all right. Keep on going. It's going to be fine. Okay? Even some of the worst who are out there. You know, I just found out a young man that had been in my class a couple of years ago has gotten married and just had a son. And this was one of the people that a whole lot of people gave up on because he was a hot mess. He was a mess. And I kept telling him, boy, this is not you. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. You're brilliant. You're wonderful. Get yourself together. Stop acting like a fool. Get it together. You know. You can read those books that I gave you. Study this. Do this. You know, and I fussed with him. I'm like, no, man, you are not going to fail. You're going to get it together. Well, I don't want to hear that. Where's this work I told you to do? Okay? We need to, if you're teaching, then you need to be that kind of teacher. And if you're an institution that won't let you do it, then get out and start your own. Look, we have too many churches sitting empty all daggone week. There's nothing going on in them. Open up those places and teach our babies, because these fools that are supposedly running education, they're running our children into the ground. They're sending them straight to hell. Because all of this madness that is going on, tell me, oh, civil rights. No, stop it, y'all. What, you know, you need to ask yourself every day, am I doing what God wants me to do? I don't care. You know, like I told my students one time, they were talking because some law had just been passed. And I said, okay, the only laws are those of which God gave us, okay? What man writes is always going to change, okay? Because I always remind them slavery was a law, okay? So I took a pen and I held it up and I dropped it and it went to the ground. I said, that's God's law. His laws don't change, okay? So we need to stop all this foolishness, buying into this madness that people are telling us is God's way. No. If the minister said, if that which is not used in the way, in the fashion that the God created it in, then we are breaking the law. Okay? We are breaking his law. He created everything to be used in a particular way. And when we start doing other than that, then we end up in trouble. So we need to know the difference between God's law and man-made rules that change every 15 minutes, every 10 minutes now, okay? And as far as what's going on in this country, people stay woke, stay awake, pay attention. Help your neighbors, help each other store up some food, okay? Make sure you have plenty of water in your house. I don't care if you got to stack it all the way up to your ceiling. Make sure you have water, because you can survive a few days without food, but you cannot survive without water. Make sure you have good, clean water in your home. start having some food, some kind of packaged food, canned food, something that you can eat, because this thing here, it doesn't look like it's getting better anytime soon. Know your neighbors. Know how to get in touch with each other without a cell phone, because those are usually the first things that go down. Okay? Know where everybody is. Have some kind of emergency meeting place in the case of a disaster. These are things we need to be working on right now, because this that's going on right now doesn't seem like it's getting any better. You know, the people who put this man in the White House, I pray that they're happy, because they knew what they were getting and they didn't care. Their white supremacist mindset made them to pick this person. So now they've got him. Now they got to figure out what to do next. Our job is to unite with each other, know your neighbors, know your family members. Whatever squabbles y'all got, settle them. We got no time for y'all to be fussing over who stepped on whose toe 20 years ago, or who spilled some coffee or tore somebody's coat or forgot to pay, whatever. Stop all of that. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for none of that right now. Get your family together. Know what to do in case disaster hits your part of town. All right? So you've been listening to Mothers in the Milk. My name is Samia Safia Muhammad, and I pray that I've said something to help us in the conditions that we are in. Remember to always be thankful for every moment that you're blessed to be here, because it is a grace. It's a blessing. And we've lost a lot of people this year. And just remember them in your prayers and be thankful. And remember the good things. See what it is that they taught you that you can continue to take with you even though they're not here. Those who are sick, you know, pray for them. Ask that they be healed from the head of their toe to the crown of their foot, if it pleases the God. Okay? Always, whatever you ask for, if it pleases him, because it's only by his permission that we get to do the things that we get to do. And when we do some, give praise to the God. All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to God. To God be the glory, because it's not about us. We're just his little instruments here, as little specks in time that he's allowed to be on this planet. So let's do the best we can. Be good parents. Go back to being parents. Parenting is what it's about. You're not your child's friend. You're their parent. And they will love you for being a good parent. I thank you for listening to me. I pray that I get to talk to you again next week. And in the upcoming weeks, we'll have some more topics, and we will have some guests on, by God's grace. All right, thank you. And once again, this is Mother's Milk, and I'll see you next week. God willing, and the good Lord willing. And
somebody as I travel alone. My living shall